So yeah, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I just thank you. I thank you for every single person, Lord, who is watching this, God. And I just thank you so much for how you so carefully picked each person that's on the Zoom call right now. And Lord, I thank you for their lives. God, I thank you for their health. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would bring revelation in this time, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us, God, that you would reveal yourself. Lord, reveal yourself through the words that I say. God, I just humble myself right now and just acknowledge, Lord, that I can't come up with revelation on my own. And then it's really just you, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, guys. So I am going through Galatians. And so just a little reason of why I chose Galatians and then a little background in the book. It's because I often find myself going back to Galatians. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And it speaks to me like almost in every single season. And the reason why it speaks to me is because I find it so easy to look at my faith in Jesus and my relationship with Jesus based upon my achievements and what I'm doing. And I make it transactional. And it is, it's something that when I started reading Galatians, it just really mended my heart to the Lord, because I realized how much I was taking on myself that the Lord never asked to put on me, and just freedom, just complete freedom, freedom from religion, from, you know, like the slave driver in my mind. It's just really hope-giving and life-giving. And so that's why I chose Galatians. I really prayed about it, and I just felt like, you know, it's like, this would just be a fun one to go over. I think it's a beautiful book, and to just to leave you encouraged. That's really my heart. It's just that no matter what happens, by the end of these devotionals, you would leave encouraged and excited, you know, for the rest of your life, whether it be tomorrow or, you know, the next day, but that it would add to you, not take away. This is not meant to be a stressor. This is not meant to create confusion in you. My hope is really just to be uplifting and freeing. So with that, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and jump right in. What the passage that the Lord had brought me to in Galatians, we're starting with Galatians 1, and a little backstory on Galatians is Paul wrote this to Galatia. What was happening in the time was in Galatians, there was a lot of Jewish Christians, and then there was also a lot of Gentile Christians, new believers. And so what was happening was, is there was a lot of crossover between the two religions, where the Jews were wanting the Christians to kind of adopt Mosaic law. And you can find out more about that if you read Acts 15. There's more reference as to what we're talking about here. So Paul wrote this, and the specific verses that I want to go to is chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who call you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but that there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you believe, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or God?" And this is the one that like really stuck out to me. 10, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please him, I would not be a servant of Christ." And so I'm just going to be really real with you guys. I'm just starting this out is I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up basically going to church. And it's so funny how this mindset can leak into your life. This like seeking the approval of man. And what I am, the way that I'm coming at this, you know, is because Paul is asking, hey, did you forget the gospel? Like, why are you adopting this Mosaic law? And so what he's talking about was there are Jewish believers in this time who are trying to get the Christians to, you know, the question of circumcision, the question of whether or not, you know, Christians should avoid certain meats. Should Christians, you know, avoid certain places? And so they're like, basically kind of like taking what they did with Mosaic Law. So when you know, they were given the Ten Commandments, well, then they added like 400 and something other laws with it, right? And so just like almost like throwing on this burden. But the mindset behind that is just this, can you do it? And if you can, you should do it sort of mentality, right? Where it's this striving. It's this, I want to earn. There's this thing in us, this transactional piece of us that's like, I want to earn. And so when it's talking about for, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? This is a question that I often ask myself. I'm like, in what I'm doing, even in this whole situation, before I agreed to come on and do these devotionals, I really had to ask, why am I doing it? Like, what is my purpose? Am I doing it for the approval of man or of God? And am I trying to please man? If I'm trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And when I think of trying to please man, it's like, am I trying to please man's mindset? Am I trying to please my own adoptive transactional idea of what the gospel is? Because when we go back up to 6, he in 7, it says, there is not a different gospel there, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And so I'm just going to reiterate what the gospel is. And I know that we're all here, we're believers. I know that we're on here where, you know, we have a faith, we believe in Jesus. But the gospel is such good news, and it's so crazy. It's so crazy. So like, when you think of the gospel, it's like we were sinners. You know, like the first man, we were born in a perfect world. Man sinned. We broke relationship with Jesus, right? And then, so we broke relationship with God. He couldn't be in our presence because he can't be in sin's presence because God is completely holy. God is completely good. And we couldn't be in his presence because of our sin, right? And so it's like we didn't have any right to have relationship with God. And it's like, but God wanted to bring us back into relationship with him. And so Jesus, fully God, became fully man and fully God and died on the cross for our sins. Okay, like I want to park on that really quick. And the reason why I'm going over this, like, I know this is just the first time that I'm on here. And so I really want to cover this, like, this basis for what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the series. But we really have to understand the magnitude of what Jesus is, because I think our minds can cheat us out of that understanding. And we can often, without thinking that we believe differently, start believing differently. And what I mean by that is if you like really stop and think, okay, God came to earth as a baby so that his own creation could kill him in the most horrendous way possible. And he would do it willingly and take on all of our sin. It's like God died. He allowed us to kill him in the most horrific way and takes all of our sin. Okay. All right. So, I mean, like, sometimes I just have to park on this because it's just so amazing. It's so big. Okay. But why? Because I know that we all have a Christian background. Why did I park on this? And the reason why I parked on that specific thing, the simple gospel, is that Paul, for that, is also parking on this. Okay, so Paul is saying here, like, who is turning you to a different gospel? Like, why are you so quickly deserting him and called you into grace? I don't think that these Christians who have been preached the gospel and who now believe in Jesus are being like sidetracked by like all these different like out loud like modifications to the gospel, right? It's the sneaky mental consensions that we make where we start to believe different things. Okay. And so like what I'm getting at here is I'm talking about how in our minds, we can stop believing the power and the true freedom that Jesus actually has for us when it comes to our sin, when it comes to our lives. See, we are created by God. We can't actually do anything without him. We weren't being without him. So we're created by God. So we literally have to receive everything from him, right? Like we can create something, you know, like, you know, as people, as a human being, but like we have nothing to give God. We have nothing to give God. He created us. And so it's like in our daily lives, How often are we trying to come up with something to give God without receiving something from God first? And what I mean by that is receiving his love and receiving his grace. And what is just so mind-boggling is like, how often are we trying to please God and man through our own striving, through like what we think we, you know, what we think we have to offer? You know, it's like maybe people will, you know, think I'm doing really well in my relationship with Jesus because like I'm doing a Bible study, or like personally, I have an Instagram live, you know, where I, you know, talk on Colossians every morning. Like maybe that'll help. Maybe people will then realize that I'm good with God, or maybe that means I am good with God in my mind. Maybe that means that I'm, you know, well, maybe if I just did one more thing in my church, maybe if I was just involved in Vespers, maybe I was just more involved in, you know, in Sabbath school. You know, it's like, I feel like in this time, especially when we have more time on our hands, we can get into this crazy swirl in our mind where we're like, okay, am I doing enough? Am I bearing fruit? You know, am I pleasing God? And I'm not saying that you can't bear fruit, because you totally can. But there's this mindset that so easily like creeps in, where it's this striving, where it's this like, I have to earn relationship with Jesus. No, you have to build relationship with Jesus. But for some reason in our minds, we start to really try to earn everything. We try to be like, because I'm doing this, I'm close with God, or because I'm doing this, I'm going to get closer to him. You know, and he says, if you seek me, you will find me. But how are we seeking? Are we seeking in quiet time? Are we seeking in, you know, in reading his word? Or are we seeking in trying to be active and trying to do like good works and just kind of like pushing through? And this whole book is like, is taking this issue and it's decomposing and like, sorry, not decomposing, so weird. And it's like destructuring it. And so helping us process that it's not us, that we have nothing to offer God, and that it's all about receiving from him, and how beautiful that is. And this book, I'm telling you guys, this book was so key in me having a personal relationship with Jesus, because for so long I thought it was about what I did, how I acted, how people saw me. It's amazing how easily that mindset can slip into our lives. It's amazing just how we can start feeling so secure in what we're doing, but then in a few short moments we're overworked, we feel stressed, we feel upset and confused, because why do I not feel closer to God? I'm doing all these things. Why am I not feeling like, this intimate relationship with Jesus? Because that's what he wants. He wants intimate relationship with him. But there's this thing that we subconsciously start to believe. And the reason why I'm like, you know, using general assumptions, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you've never felt this way, like, hey, I think that's amazing. You should definitely give me a call and we should talk, because I want to pick your brain. But like, not because I don't believe you, but because like I struggle with this. Like, this is something that like I always have to stop for a second and ask myself, okay, what am I doing? How is my relationship with Jesus? And am I trying to earn relationship by doing things, by striving, by fulfilling rules? Like, ask yourself, is there anything that you do in your life that you feel like when you do it, like you are better, like, I mean, sorry, let me rephrase this. If you like hold up a certain thing, a law, or let's say you refrain from eating a meat, that is totally awesome if you don't eat meat. I love it. I really don't eat meat. But if in your mind, the fact that you don't eat meat, you think that is a pleasing sacrifice to God, the fact that you don't eat meat, and that, you know, because you don't, God is more affectionate towards you. You know, this is just one controversial issue, but I had to be set free of this because I had this internal struggle and condemnation of, well, if I eat meat, does God still, you know, it's like, I don't want to eat meat because I want God to, you know, like, know that I, you know, I want him to love me more. You know, it's like this crazy, like, thought processes. And when I say it out loud, guys, it sounds silly, but like, if you've ever had it in your mind, you know what I'm talking about. These thoughts of like, if I do this, somehow I'm pleasing him more. Like, if I sacrifice something, I'm pleasing him more. Like, if, you know, it's like God does not call us to live these crazy, you know, legalistic lives where it's not transactional. It's not, if I do this, God feels this way about me. That's what I'm trying to get out here. If there's ever a part in your life where you think, well, if I do this, then God will like me more. If you ever feel like there's anything that you do in your life that when you do it, God suddenly loves you more, that's not true. He's always loved you the same, you know? And this book was so key in me having that revelation of, oh my gosh, I am totally free no matter what, because when God sees me, he sees Jesus. And it's just such a beautiful thing to like know that you can live your life and not have to strive and not have to push and try to accomplish in order to earn God's love. You know, and it's so funny because it's such a hidden thought. You know, it's so deep. It's not so overt that we're like, that we realize it in ourselves sometimes until we realize how burnt out we are. And then we're like, oh, maybe I'm doing too much, you know, but there's such a thing as really overworking yourself because you think that if you do in the name of Jesus, he's going to love you more and you're going to be closer to him. But that's not further from the truth, because our actions, what we do, even Paul says it, it's nothing. It's dirty rags. We have to receive his love. You have to just like lay back and let the Father love you, you know, and this might be controversial. This might, you know, this might upset some people, and I'm totally okay with that. I'm so sorry if this is offensive to you, but my heart really here in this is like, there's nothing that we can do to make God love us more. And there's nothing that we can do to make God love us less. And this is a pretty like, I'm jumping around a lot, and I understand that. This is the first devotional. And so I really did just want to cover a lot of different things so that next week we can really hone in without having to like cover these things again. So I'm so sorry if I seem scatterbrained. I am prepared, but I just wanted to cover all these things in preparation for the rest of this series. But I just wanted to leave us really quick. I'll end here with this encouragement because Paul is saying, like, he's leaving us with these questions of, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? And when I think of man, I'm gonna end with this, but when you hear the word, am I seeking the approval of man? Think of, am I seeking the approval using man's method of value? Am I seeking the approval of God or of man in man with man's method, which is, if I do, then they will? It's transactional. That's not how God is. But it's a really good question to ask yourself. Am I doing something in using man's method to get closer to God, which is transactional? He's like, if I'm still trying to please man, I would not be a servant to Christ. If you're trying to please God using man's way, you're not building relationship and being a servant to Jesus. You're not being a good witness. Can I say that? I mean, yes, God uses all things, you know. He uses all of the works that you do. He says that in his word. Nothing that you do is wasted. Absolutely not. Everything that you do, he uses. He uses it for his good. But if what you are doing, you're doing out of striving, you are robbing yourself of joy and a deeper, intimate relationship with Jesus. And he's not looking at you like you're not doing enough. And he's not looking at you as in thinking you're doing way too much. Oh my gosh, you're missing it. He's looking at you saying, I want to spend more time with you. I want a deeper relationship with you. I'm focused on your heart, not on what you're accomplishing. God wants a closer relationship with your heart, And we're going to see that even more as we continue on the study with Galatians. We're going to get into that even more. And it's going to really come alive. And I'm going to end there. But you guys, I hope that you come back next week. My heart is honestly just to encourage with that, because I think that we can all get really weary when it comes to our walk with Jesus and what we feel like we're expected to do. But I just want this time to be a time of life, a time of you taking things off your shoulders that aren't supposed to be there, a time of lightning and encouragement. And I'm gonna close us in prayer. But can I leave it with this, that what you're doing right now, whatever it is that you're involved in right now, and whatever it is that you have been involved in, Jesus is so proud of you. You are doing a good job. When God sees you, he sees Jesus, and he couldn't love you more, and he would never love you less. But I believe that he wants to speak to all of us even more about this. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for every single person on this call. Lord, my heart is so deeply tied to them. God, I've been praying about this, Jesus. I just pray that you would just bless them in today. God, if there's anything that I've said that was offensive or that was a misrepresentation of you, Jesus, I pray that you'd make me aware of it. God, I love to learn. God, and so I thank you for how you're speaking to all of us. God, I thank you for each person on this call. Lord, I pray for safety over them. Lord, just as we open this up for discussion, God, would you give us all soft hearts to hear, God, and just, Lord, even deeper revelation as we commune with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, y'all.
Amen.
Wow. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. That was good.
Very good. Amen. So, can we ask questions now?
Yeah, I think so. Right, Jim?
Yep, it's open for.
I know who's on here. I mean, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, but that's something I've always personally struggled with as well, as when, like, finding, like, figuring out if I'm doing something to please people or to please the Lord. And, like, me, I was a vegetarian, but a lot of people, like, what I call is righteousness by veganism, because... If you weren't a vegetarian, you were like going to hell. And there's some quotes from the book of Ellen White that really talks about why you should be a vegetarian. And I do agree with them for the most part. But people do take it too far. And me, like, I really try and focus on pleasing the Lord. And then so I was wondering, where do you draw the line, like, when you're doing something for the Lord, like, I know he loves me, but, like, if you're in sin and you're blaspheming God, drinking alcohol, partying, fornication, all this stuff, like, will he still love you during that time, or does he want you to get out of that situation? That way he can start using you.
I'd say both.
You got to unmute, Cap. We can't hear you. You're muted.
Yes. Okay. I think when it comes to what other people are doing with their life and what they're eating or drinking, our job is always love first. Love first. It says in the Bible that we will be known by how we love. And I'm not saying that love is, you know, like agreeing with, like, you know, living a radical lifestyle of, like, drinking and drugs and, like, you know, all this stuff. The Bible clearly says, you know, what, how it feels about that, you know, if that's very clear in the Bible. And with things that are very clear in the Bible, I would say, you know, it's like, love them in truth and be in love in that. But it also sounds like you were talking about, you know, it's like, veganism by righteousness, which I think is, I mean, I think I've heard of that before, just like as like a meme. Yeah, when it comes to just wanting to please the Lord, I think that's a beautiful heart posture. I mean, I want to please the Lord too. That is like such a thing. And Paul even talks about in the Bible, he says, you know, it's like, who am I to tell you, you know, what is sin for you and what is, you know, what is not? If there is something that, you know, you feel like is sin in your life, you know, and then you do it anyway, and it causes this conflict inside of you, you know, it's like, then don't do it. You know, you be forgiven, be released. Matthew, I see that you're posting Philippians 2:12. I love that. Be released, but also, like, I would say when it comes to rules, stick to the Bible. Stick to the Bible. In Galatians, it also, in this chapter, it talks about if anybody, and I think I read it, if anybody preaches a different gospel to you, including myself, that isn't the gospel, isn't like the word of God, he's saying, like, don't be so quick to hold on to it. And so what I want to say to you is go back to the word of God. Like, I respect Ellen White. You know, I have read some of her books. But I do not base my life off of what she says, because I do not follow Ellen White. I follow Jesus. And that's two very different things. And I think when we start to base our lives off of what somebody has said, but who isn't the Lord, we can start getting into trouble, not because that person's bad or evil, but because we start to give the authority of our lives to a person and not to the Lord. And that's who we owe the only position of, like, the authority over the decisions we make. I mean, like, yes, we come under natural authority, but when it comes to spiritual authority, God needs to be supreme and ruling over what anybody else says.
Well said.
Yeah, Kat, I'd just like to make a comment based on what you're saying too. What I like about the passage you shared and how you went down to the verse where he asks the question, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? In other words, he's saying, wait a minute, if I kind of get in this trap where I'm trying to please God, then at what point will that if I'm starting from the place, like, let's say I get baptized, to make it clear, and I'm doing it because I love Jesus and I want to be a Christian, and I start out wanting to please God, right? And right. Then after that, I'm like wanting to please God more and more. So, like, what can I do now to please him more so that he'll love me more? And when I operate from a place of trying to earn a relationship that's already been offered to me, mm-hmm. then I end up putting myself in a position where I also start to naturally want to please people.
Right.
And then I come to this point, what he's talking about, where now, wait a minute, am I trying to please the people around me, or am I trying to please God? Because it literally puts us in a posture of pleasing in order to earn love, rather than living life loved, which empowers you then to love.
That's so good.
Absolutely. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And I guess I only say that from personal experience. I started out a homeless guy in a bus stop, and God called me. And at the beginning, it was like, wow, God loves me as a homeless guy in a bus stop. But right. then at a point in my life and in ministry, it became about, like, ooh, now, like, what can I do next in ministry so that people are going to be like, Stephen's a great Christian and his ministry is so good. Sure. And one day God spoke to my heart and he said, hey, Stephen, you can be doing things for me and be worse off than you were when you were in that bus stop.
Wow.
Because you're doing it for me and not letting me do it through you.
So good. Yeah.
So I love what you shared. Thank you.
I think it's human nature to struggle with accepting that there's nothing we can do to earn God's love.
Right?
Because even as a kid, I remember whenever it's my birthday and my parents would give me something, I would do something to deserve that gift.
depending on how much it is. I remember when I was 12, my mother was going to buy me a piano, which I knew was very expensive. And I had to say no because I didn't think I could do anything to deserve it. Wow. So growing up, even when I got older, I still had that mindset that I can't get out of that. So when I was very active in church, somehow subconsciously, when I do a lot of things, I'd feel that I've done enough to deserve God's love. So it's very difficult to get out of that.
Oh, so hard. It's because like that's how radical the gospel is. You're like, it's so hard to be like wrap your mind around the fact that like, wow, I don't have to. Are you serious? You know, it's like I don't have to do anything, and you love me.
Especially if you grew up in a home where you have to deserve your parents' love, it's difficult.
Oh yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah,
you don't have that example.
Right. Right. So true.
Yeah, I remember growing up, like when I was just becoming a Christian, I used to really struggle with the concept of forgiveness because I was like trying to pray until I felt forgiven. So I would like ask forgiven for something, but I didn't feel forgiven. So I would keep praying. After I felt forgiven, then I said, okay, I'm good. And I think that came sometimes to, when it talks about pleasing men, it doesn't always mean to other people, sometimes it's just yourself.
Yeah.
Get to a point where you're trying to please yourself, where you say, well, okay, I meet the criteria today for my relationship with God or my Christianity. So I prayed enough, I read the Bible enough, so I'm good enough. That can be a deception where God wants you to go deeper, God wants you to get a better understanding or have a more trust in Him, what He's doing. But instead, you go to a point where you only trust how you feel about what's going on. And right. that could be a trap.
Right.
Oh, so true.
There's
a fine
line between acceptance of God and accepting ourselves. Because, Tim, going off of what you were saying, we walk that fine line. The Holy Spirit is pleading with us to do well. So He puts things in our hearts and our minds to correct us. But the devil's out there as well. Say no. You won't get over that, or that's not good enough, or and it just as Kat has so beautifully pointed out in Galatians here. I mean the gift of salvation and the gift of Christ is so readily to be accepted, and yet as was pointed out by Harold. It's so foreign to us with human nature. We're just like, no, I have to earn it. And we can't earn it. We just say, God, come into my life. And He's like, boom, it's yours.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have to perform for God. He wants us to love Him. So, yeah, when we start trying to perform, then, you know, we're trying to perform for a God that's perfect. And in our fallen state, we can't ever perform enough to impress Him. He doesn't want us to perform for Him. He wants us to love Him. So that's the difference.
Right.
Right.
I've always likened it to a car battery that's trying to start a car that has no charge. So like the entire law and the prophets hangs on love. But if we don't start by first accepting God's love as being the creator, you know, He's the one that can literally give you what He's asking for. And so I'm not even able to love God with a dead battery.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I allow God to like literally love me, like as I am, you know, the thief hanging on the cross next to Him, like, man, I'm so unworthy, but please make a place for me in Your kingdom. I just want to be in, you know, like I've always wanted to be. And He's just like, dude, I've got you right where you're at. I've got you in the bus stop, on the cross, as the prodigal, whatever. I'm going to love you. And that's the very thing that actually allows you to genuinely love others. And that, like, literally now I've been filled with God's love, which is genuine and real. It's not based on, like, I'm going to love you and then you're going to give me something. Or, like, I'm going to do the right thing so that you'll love me. And we get into this whole game Paul's talking about where, like, am I doing this for God or am I doing it for them? Or, like, is it both or where am I at?
Yeah.
If we just, like, receive God's love, then all of a sudden, boom, now I'm loving God back because it's impossible not to love back when you're loved like that, first of all. And then second of all, everything I'm doing for people around me is as a result of living in the reality that I'm loved.
Right.
Question.
That's so good.
My background is noise, but I have a quick question. I don't know if it's for Jenna, but for me personally, I have a personal question. Where this discussion is very powerful, where I have a question where my papa still on this. As I serve in my different ministries at church, I realize that the more I want to give up, yes, a lot of times, because it can be very challenging, whether, you know, the devil will push even church in your way to distract you, to make you upset, stuff like that. So ever so often, I feel like I want to give up, but I remember my ultimate cause. And getting that reminder of what I'm doing and who I'm doing it for is a good thing. But then part of me feels like I have to do it in order to continue to get his blessing, to, like, I'm working for it. I feel like if I drop it, God is going to drop my blessings. That's that constant feeling that, you know, I don't know if other people experience the same thing. So I'm serving, for example, because the Bible talks about temperance. I'm serving 3 leading offices in the church, and it wears me down. Like, to make it work, I'm a single mom. So, you know, it's a lot. Plus working with children same age at work, which is age 6 and 7, you know, financial work as a career, being a teacher in itself. So at what point, because I'm thinking about temperance as well, because these 3 positions at church can be very hectic leading the positions. But if I feel like if I step back, one, yes, the children won't have anybody to help them steer ahead. But the reality is that if I fall short and get sick tomorrow, somebody else is going to pick up the slot. Mm-hmm. But I still have a feeling as if I step back, yes, being healthy and step back, because I'm thinking of temperance, God is going to step back on me. So frame of thought or thought process, should I fixate myself? I know, you know, we do get conditioned in certain things, thinking that, you know, as we grow, as the young man just stated before about the gifts, which is a wonderful example. How do I change that thought process, knowing that I don't have to work super hard to get his blessing?
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Oh my gosh. You're a beautiful human being. First, I want to say that. Couple thoughts. One is, if Jesus truly died on the cross for you, and he talks about how, like, he's a loving father, how God in heaven is a loving father, and a wicked man would not like give his son a snake, or if he asked for bread, you know, or give him a stone. Like, a wicked man would not do that, but God is a loving father. God knows your situation. He knows how busy you are. He knows all the things that you're doing. That's not wicked. You know, if you stepping back, like, just, this is just a picture in my mind is, you know, if your daughter, you know, let's say is older, and is in the same situation, you know, well, how would your heart be towards her? You know, I doubt that you would be, you know, a slave driver and tell her that she has to just get through it. And, you know, when you see that it's unhealthy. And so another thing is God loves where you work. He loves the people that you work with. He loves the church that you serve in. He loves it. He's for it. He's so for it, you know, and it's like, and God wants the best for that too. So if you, you know, are even that fear of like, well, if I step down, I'm letting everybody down and all this is, it could, you know, really end up badly. I want to say that there might be a time where, yeah, there is like scrambling, where there is like people are trying to figure it out, you know, and there's like there's a grace in leaving, you know, the Lord, you know, totally over it. But I also want to say, like, what if there's somebody in the community that you're in who has talents that would fit this, but the position is not open to them and they are not able to operate in the gifts that they have, because you are working in all 3 of these major places, in these major ministry, you know, like these positions in your church. And it's kind of funny because there's that saying that, like, the 80-20, like 20% of the people in church, you know, are doing the work, or 80%, you know, aren't. And it's like, I think part of that whole statistic is this mentality of there are these 20% of people that are like, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And I don't want to let this, fall. I don't want to drop the ball. There's this fear of dropping the ball and other people seeing that you dropped the ball. But in being confident in how and who you are and how God loves you, I would say what you need to do is really focus on receiving the love of God as who you are. And there are a couple different Bible verses, and I'll stick them in the chat here in a second after I get off. I'm on here on my phone, otherwise I totally put them in there now. But I think just scripture that affirms God's love over you and that there's nothing that you can do to earn his love. Something you can do to earn it. And what you are doing, like what you've told me, is amazing that you are like, you know, functioning as a human being. I mean, it's just like you're doing so much. Like, wow, you're Wonder Woman, but like God is also your father, and he's saying like, I love you, I want to look after you, I want to be your provider, I want to care for you. Do you trust me? That's the thing. How is your relationship with God when it comes to trust? You know, do you trust him to take care of you if you're not doing all of this for him? Where's your, you know, because, and I think that part of it is, it's the only way that you can change your mind. It's like, you know, the renovation of the heart, you know, God really transforming our minds is by filling our minds with the truth of what God says about us. And that's all in the Bible. It's, what does the Bible say? And you have to remind yourself that a lot. I mean, I do all the time. I'm like, okay, I have to go back to what the word says. But that would be my advice, or not my advice, but just like what I would do if I was in your situation. And just like, girl, like you do so much. Like, I mean, it sounds like you're doing a lot. And it's taking away even from the joy of rest.
Okay, I have one more question, if you don't mind. Hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Right now, like, one thing I keep hearing a lot is that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is pleasing man and turning away from God by accepting woman's ordination. I know the teachings of Paul, like, teaches against, like, woman's ordination, and I don't have it all figured out, speaking honestly. So I was wondering if that is true or not.
If what is specifically asking if it's true?
If if it's true that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is pleasing man by accepting woman's ordination.
No. I mean, like, I can't speak a whole lot about this because I'm not sure, like, with everything that the Adventist Church is doing. But if a church is, like, ordaining women, if that's pleasing man, I say no. I think that's reconciliation. I think that's actually pleasing the Lord's heart because the Lord made man and women together. There's a story in the Bible when it talks about Josiah, the young king, and when he became ruler, they found this book. The high priest found a book. Which was the law, and Josiah was like, what do we do with this? We don't know what to do with this. And they took it to a woman who gave wisdom as to what to do with the book of the law. A woman advised an entire kingdom. And there are so many stories like that in the Bible. Jesus was known for being completely revolutionary in how he treated women, because women were not allowed to learn. And Jesus taught women. And so I think that there is a little bit of an issue there when it comes to women being ordained, where it's not pleasing man, but I think that it is actually making something that has been wrong right. And I'm not saying that women are better than man. I would not consider myself a feminist. But I do know that in Genesis, that we as mankind did not create the full image of God until women was created, man and women together. And so I think that that gives women an equal amount of authority than men when it comes to this.
And just to add on to that, Daniel, there's different things that are happening today that may not be like, find the exact verse that says command, we should be doing this, but God is still guiding his church through these difficult times. And just to add to onto that, there's still no verse in the Bible that approves man wearing pants, but yeah, we're still doing it. So we need God's wisdom, reading that God is alive, because there's things that we have to face every day. We have to make decisions on how we deal with social media, how we deal with our jobs that may not have happened back during Peter's time. But God is alive. God is, the Holy Spirit is moving, and he's here.
Absolutely. Heck yeah.
Personally, for me, I don't know for anybody else, but for me, I don't think our focus should be on politics, church politics, women to vote, women to preach or not. Some churches do it. My church is a small conservative church. Those things are a big no-no in our church. Yes, we're part of the conference, but it's still a big no-no. So yes, we have a conference that voted on it, but other churches have their different opinion. But on a personal note, I don't think it should be a matter or personal thought process. For me personally, my focus should be on knowing the word more, having that strong interpersonal relationship with God.
Right.
To sit and have a debate on if women should or should not, honestly, that doesn't matter to me. That takes too much energy and too much anger and too much verbiage, because as teachers, we know that if we talk a lot, your pressure goes up. That's one thing all, I wouldn't say all, 90% of teachers are blessed with, high blood pressure, because we're standing a lot and we're talking a lot and we're disciplining a lot. So to have that deep debate, should or should not, and all these other debates with the Ellen G. White, and as you said before, let's just focus on the Bible. Let's focus on the word. Let's focus on facts. Let's focus on having our mindset heavenward. Yes, we should do his work here by spreading the gospel. But our ultimate goal is, like, as you said, we shouldn't work to please him. But yes, we should live through and by his word. And not focus on should I or should not. Should I, should not. Back and forth. Discussion. So our focus should be on Christ and Christ alone.
Right.
And having that strong interpersonal relationship. I realize, and this is something I've been battling for from birth. I was literally born on the Sabbath, and the following Sabbath I was in church. So I'm a born Seventh-day Adventist. But I don't sit and listen to the back and forth, oh, should they do this? No, my fight right now is to daily bask in his word. I get up early in the morning. God has been putting this on my heart constantly. Get up early in the wee of the morning when it's quiet and talk to him. Prostrate with him.
Okay.
Talk and stop and listen to what he has to say to me. That's my focus, because I want to go to heaven. I don't know about you guys. I want to see my God, the God I've been talking about, the God I've been excited to tell somebody about. I want to hold him in my arms and say thank you face to face.
Yes.
I get excited when I talk to him like that. I get excited, but I shouldn't be spending my time going back and forth.
Yeah.
When I do that debate, I feel this sense of anger, like, why does he believe what I believe? No, why should we be feeling like that? So
fire,
we should spend our time in his word and think heavenward. Keep those horse blinders on, because the devil will throw little things back and forth just to distract us. But we should, especially in a time like this. First, it was a COVID back and forth with the news. No, it's not COVID anymore. You don't see, it's there, but it's not as much. No, it's the riots. It's unbelievable what's going on. These are the constant distractions that are in front of us.
Yeah.
And now more than ever, we should fall to our knees and focus, have that interpersonal relationship with our God on a one-to-one basis.
That's so good. I love that. Well, guys, I think we've hit our time. I love that ending note. I think that's a great note to end on, that it's true. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of different things happening in our culture and society that we could, you know, that we might want to try to figure out. And, you know, I believe that the Lord has the answer to all of that. But I also believe that our job is also to, like, yes, focus on our relationship with Jesus and focus on being Jesus to other people.
Amen.
Amen. Well, guys,
yeah.
I don't know if Timmy, does Tim close these out? Do I close these out? What happens?
I'm pretty sure that the host ends up, you know, closing it out at the end.
All right. All right, y'all.
What do I know? This is only my second time being on one of these ever. So
that's fine. I've never been on this before in my life.
Usually what we do is we'll close with your prayer requests, and the host will usually lead that if there's any quick prayer requests, and then you're welcome to pray out, and then I'll usually share a couple announcements about the next day. So.
Awesome.
I definitely have a prayer request. I have a final at 10 a.m., so please pray for me that I will find all of the answers for the review before 5 a.m., you know, so I can at least sleep 1 or 2 hours before writing this thing.
Got it. All right, finals. What else we got? Can you hear Tim?
Well, he just left. I think he just dropped the call. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have one real quick. I have a film project that I'm filming on Sunday. I just got the script today, so pray for favor with it, and then I can remember my lines, and so yeah, so it'll be a quick short video, so but pray for favor with it.
Yeah, of course.
Prayer request. I'm doing a I love church programs. it makes me excited. I'm doing an AYLC course, Adventist Youth Leadership Certification.
Okay.
I have one more next year to do with this one is AY, the next one next year is for Pathfinders. It's a higher level of Pathfindering after Master Guide. So we're halfway through the course I'm just praying for. I've done most of it already, but just to keep that interest going. And the devil is throwing distractions. The instructions are doing some stuff that's really trying to distract me, but I want to stay focused on my number one cause to educate myself, to be educated more on how to spread the gospel through the young people.
You got it.
Let's pray for our Wednesday Bible studies.
Yeah,
that it continues to, you know, bring more people together, continue to speak to us, and I'm praying for you as you prepare everything.
Thank you. Let's pray for this group, y'all. Is there anybody else? All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you so much, Holy Spirit, just for this group, Lord. But I even just feel my heart being knit to these people, God, and how wonderful you've made each and every one of them. God, I ask you, Lord, right now, Lord, for Matthew, God, and him prepping for this video that's to be shot on Sunday. God, I just pray that you would bless him, God, that you would, Lord, that you would give him favor, Lord, as he's recording this, God, and shooting this film. And so, Lord, I just pray over him, God. I pray over peace, God, as he is working on it, as he is memorizing his lines. God, I just pray for that he would just have such amazing recall, Lord, when he's memorizing these lines. And so, Lord, I thank you for the gift that you have given him in what he is doing in this. And Lord, I pray for Stephen. God, I pray for this final that is coming up. Lord, that you would just, Lord, that you would bless him, Lord, in his studying. God, that you would give him focus. And God, that you would, Lord, just prove every answer, Lord, that in the review that he is doing, God, that you would just give him a swiftness, Lord, when it comes to finding the right answers, God. And Lord, I just pray over just as he sits for this test, God, for this final, Lord, that he would have recall, and God, that he would remember everything, Jesus. And I just, Lord, I thank you for Stephen as well, God. And I just pray for Yannick. Am I saying that right? Yannick?
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, I pray for Yannick. God, your hand is so obviously over her life. God, she is so obviously so deeply in love with you and so on fire, God, for who you are and seeing your gospel preached, God, that she truly is a woman who loves bravely and deeply and is, God, that she is a shepherdess. And so, Lord, just as she is continuing her education and continuing in learning about you, God, I just pray that you would open her heart and her mind, Lord. You would give her the keys to great revelation, Jesus. Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to her. Lord, in everything that she studies, God, I just, Lord, I thank you for her. God, I just pray a blessing over her. Lord, and then I also pray for this entire group, Holy Spirit, that you would this week work in their lives, God, in such an amazing way. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them, God, that you would, that they would even have a deeper relationship with you, God, that they would know your will for their lives, even Jesus, Lord, in this crazy time, God, I pray for an outpouring of joy over every single person. I just pray for joy. And I just thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity just to have a conversation and just to pray with these wonderful people. And so I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.